I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at tomboyx.com.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
One of the things we talked about on the show this week was Marino Faliero, also called Marine Falier, also called a pronunciation in Latin that I've already forgotten.
the bad Doge.
Doge of Venice. The only one to ever be executed for treason. While I was working on this, I was kind of struggling with it because I thought the background on the office of Doge and how that developed was important context because it may explain why he took those steps. Like maybe he just wanted a lot more power than the office really had. But I also felt like the most interesting part of it was all the slapping and the beheading, which came along much later. So I was talking through all of this with my spouse at dinner at a restaurant. As I had gotten to a point where, like, I had the whole outline roughed out, but I was still like, how can I make this a little bit more, like, compelling with the part that I felt that was more context and less the good part? And I was like, so he brought all these commoners together, and they started planning a coup. And Patrick said, a coup against who? He was the Doge. And I was like, valid point.
Wow, but if he was largely figureheady...
Yeah.
A coup against all the people,
all the nobility.
Who were keeping him down.
Yeah.
It is a weird thing, right? At that late stage in his life to be like, now is the time.
Yeah, because he was at least in his 70s. And depending on which year of birth is the right one, because I really did find 3 different years of birth. Like he may have been almost or into his 80s and had a career that, you know, while seeming to have a volatile temper, but like, beyond that, it seems like people respected him. So it does seem like, why suddenly did you decide to murder everyone?
Right? I mean, there's part of me that's like, in just trying to logic it out, I'm not saying this is a good and valid choice. Is there part of him that was like, yeah, but no one will remember me for being a nice guy, one of many, many doges. But if I become the worst doge, I will secure my legacy.
The fact that there were so many people getting slapped in this episode was fascinating to me. The fact that he seems to have either tried to take absolute power in Venice or was manipulated into this weird and terrible coup plan, fascinating to me. The painting over of his portrait. None of those portraits, or at least as far as we know, like, there was not source artwork to go on for a lot of those portraits. They're sort of what imagined of what all the doges look like, except for his, which is just this banner that's painted onto the wall, which both of us, as we were walking around with this audio tour, were like, you know, we're sort of looking at the walls and the ceiling because it's like the whole room is just covered in artwork. And then we had the audio tours queued up to approximately the same point, and both of our heads just turned to find this banner hanging among all the Doge portraits.
See? Memorable. I love just the little bit at the end that we talked about Venice's identity being so counter to the way it was perceived.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, it's just a great, that's like a municipality-wide thing, but like you can extrapolate that and condense it down, and like how many of us just humans walking around have the same situation going on of like,
yeah,
I think I am this, and if you ask somebody else, they'll be like, no, you are this. It's just a fascinating phenomenon.
Yeah, something that was really striking to me about Venice is Venice's own mythology about itself, which you know, as we said, is this idea, this is a place that was particularly blessed by St. Mark and particularly home to ingenuity and artwork and an independent republic that stood for more than 1,000 years. And it's something that comes up again and again in the various historical things that we saw while we were there. And as someone who did not grow up in Venice or even grow up in Italy, I was like, wow, this is like just continual historical PR campaign for yourself that's been going on for centuries. And I see this also, you know, in American historical sites, especially things that are related to things like the founding of the United States and the Revolutionary War, and depending where you are, different aspects of the Civil War, some of which are incredibly troubling in how they sort of put forth the myth of how this all happened. But I felt like of various places that I have traveled before, like this was a place where I felt like it was so infused with everything that we saw that I was like, this is real interesting to me. And it's also very interesting to me how the perception grew that it was this like mysterious and romantic and secretive place because, I mean, it's a city right there on the water with canals instead of roads for cars to drive on. And in the, like, cooler months, it can be shrouded in this very thick mist. And I was like, yeah, I understand why this is, like, why this has been the subject of so much artwork and so many fictional depictions. Like, it is a place that lends itself to all kinds of storytelling and myth making. We pretty much went because it is very threatened by both climate change and by the effects of the enormous amount of tourism that it gets. So it was like we were contributing to the problem ourselves by going there, but also wanted to see it.
Right. That's the trick.
Before it is underwater, because it is, I mean, it is absolutely threatened by sea level rise. There are times now already where the tide swells to the point that it just floods the city, and they have to put little platforms down on the walkways for people to be able to get around.
I vaguely recall a million years ago, by which I mean maybe 8 years ago, when we were still doing editorial work for How Stuff Works. And we had an episode about an article that I was working on for some reason about Venice and sea level rise. And I remember looking at pictures of the Piazza St. Mark being flooded. And I was just like, this is messed up.
Yeah, it happens. That has happened actually relatively recently. At the waterfront area of Boston, there have been a couple of tides that have just flooded everything around for the same reasons. So, yeah, I'm glad we were able to go to Venice. I really hope, number one, we as a society are able to take some more concrete steps to try to slow down the pace of climate change. And also, there are attempts to do some things to try to protect Venice as a city, and some of them are controversial, that everything has a downside, but it is a beautiful and interesting place with all kinds of historical buildings a lot of which are just gorgeous, that are just right on the water. It's just right there. There's a wall and it's the canal.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope people are documenting every single tiny thing about it before we lose it.
Yeah.
That's a downer place to end it.
That is a downer place to end it.
Sorry.
Maybe this will be the Monday episode, and so there will be a second happier thing. Because we don't know when we record these a lot of the times. So we're just like, we'll record it so that it could be either the first or the second episode.
Yeah, and we have some control over the calendar, but things come up that make it necessary to shift things into one position or another. So fingers crossed, we'll try to make this a Monday episode so that this will be the first half of Behind the Scenes, and the next one will be a laugh riot. Watch, it's going to be horrible.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, Tomboy X designs gender and size-inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com.
Tracy, we talked about the adoption of standard time zones this week.
Yeah.
Oh, time.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if you never travel, if you never, like, let's say you live in a remote area and your life is centered around your home and your family and not going to other places, like, none of this really affects your life that much, probably. But, like, if you're going to travel a long way with a fast mode of travel, especially, like, trying to adjust your watch 27 times and also missing your train connection or your plane connection or whatever because the clocks were different. Like, it's a whole different level of necessity.
It's not fun, that's for sure.
Yeah. I remember once when I was still living in Atlanta, I had gone to the Atlanta airport for something. Obviously, it was to get on an airplane, but I don't remember what the trip was about. And I had gotten there really early for whatever reason. And I was like, wow, I have all this time. I'm just going to go over to the international terminal because that's like new and clean and I can go to the stores there, whatever. I'm just going to hang out. And at some point, my phone decided that I was in Central Time instead of Eastern Time. And I was like, wow, why do I feel like I have so much more? I knew I got here early, but not that early. And then I realized that my phone didn't match the departure boards. And I was like, oh, no.
That's terrifying.
Going back to the gate right now. I still had plenty of time. I did not miss my flight. But since then, I've been kind of paranoid about whether my phone has auto-adjusted its time zone to something wrong.
Whether it's trying to mess with you. There were a couple things that I did not put in this episode. One is kind of a charming story about Sanford Fleming when he was a kid. It comes up kind of briefly mentioned in some of the biographies of him I read about him being a kid and obviously being kind of like the right child to go into a surveying career, which is that he invented what he called a drawing machine when he was a kid, which is basically this way that projected silhouettes onto things and then he would kind of draw them out based on it. But like he had this whole mechanism set up and I could never find a really, really good description of it that I understood how it functioned. But I just loved the idea that as a child, he was like, I'm going to invent machines that make sense out of things that I can't do artistically. I loved it. He sounds fun. The other thing I didn't mention, and I don't know if we've talked about it on a behind the scenes before. Have we ever talked about Swatch internet time?
Oh, I feel like it came up in the context of something. And I remember you telling me about it, but I don't remember if then we talked about it on the behind the scenes or not.
I wanted it to be a thing so bad. There was a time briefly in the late 1990s when Swatch was trying to institute this idea of instead of using hours and minutes, we would transition everything to 1,000 beats a day. Mm-hmm. And everybody would be on the same beat all the time, whether you were in Atlanta, in Hong Kong, in London, and they had watches that worked on beats. And I was like, yes, this will unite us all. And nobody wanted to do it but me, apparently.
I think it might have been a conversation and something like maybe when we were talking about Esperanto and having an international language that might have come up in the context of that. So I live in eastern Massachusetts, north of Boston. We are in the Eastern time zone. And sometimes conversation comes up about whether we should really be one time zone farther to the east than we are because, man, the sun comes up so early. The sun came up this morning at 5 a.m., which means it was getting light at about 4:30. And while we have these like pull down blackout blinds that do make it darker than other blinds in the house do, like they're more opaque, but there's still a thin line between the blind and the actual frame or the sill of the window where a little bit of light can seep through, and it is enough to really brighten up the rooms when the sun comes up. We haven't put curtains over it because we think the cats will climb them. And every year I forget that I need a sleep mask on my face when I go to bed or else the rising sun at 4:30 in the morning is going to start waking me up. And that happened today. And it was unfortunate because when I remembered I should put a sleep mask on and I fell back asleep, then I overslept because I had just messed myself all up.
Meow, meow, meow. Yeah. I think because I naturally shift to vampire hours if left to my own devices, daylight savings shifting back and forth has very little meaning to me. I'm like, okay, roll with it. Cause I'm like, I'm sleeping through daylight anyway, no matter what happens. If it's a weekend, the sun has come up before I have for sure.
Yeah. I do not enjoy the time changes of daylight saving time. I also have a hard time traveling, crossing time zones. Like I have a hard time with jet lag if I'm traveling over a lot of time zones, especially. And the thing I have a hardest time with is in the winter time. I have a little bit of just like seasonal difficulty. I've never been diagnosed with anything, but I like it's noticeably more challenging for me in the darker months. And often I am just starting to feel like the light is where I want it to be. And then the time changes and it resets. And I'm like, no, why?
See, I don't have any form of seasonal affective disorder that I can surmise, but I do have winter rage disorder, which has nothing to do with light and everything to do with how much I just hate being cold.
Yeah.
It's a very different thing, though. But I have always thought, like, oh, I'm pretty good with time zone changes, which was put to the test recently. And I think turned out to be correct because we went to Italy for a little over a week. And then I came back to Atlanta for 3 days. And then I went to California for a little less than a week. And that all happened like right on. And I was fine. It didn't bother me at all.
I, on the other hand, had terrible jet lag in Italy, especially the first 2 days we were there. I felt very bad. And after I had managed to finally get like my first really good night of sleep and I felt like I was acclimating, people were like, I was worried about you. And I was like, I'm all right now. I just need to remember if I'm traveling over that many time zones, I need a little time built in to adjust.
I think I just always stay up until it stops being a thing. And then that's always my trick, right? Like, okay, I'll just stay up and make myself stay awake until it's the right time to go to bed. And then I'm like golden.
Nope. But that worked for me mostly coming home. Coming home, I just stayed up until we were home. And then I went to bed at normal time, home time. And I got on to Eastern time again pretty easily. But I still, like, my body still felt really, really tired. But going to Italy, I wasn't really able to sleep on the plane because of, like, our connecting flight interrupted what would have been sleeping time, and it didn't work out for me.
Yeah, I can't sleep on a plane, so I just stay up like 36 hours and then I conk out and then I'm set.
Didn't work for me.
And then I'm like, okay, I'll have two mojitos and I'll go to bed, and it resets the whole clock.
Yeah, it was like I was too tired to get comfortable, and my brain was also like, the time is incorrect. I don't know what's wrong with you. And so it was like, in addition to having not slept on the flight, I continued to not really sleep for the next two nights. And then it worked out. Then I got onto the correct time, and it was okay. This is only a problem that happens for people that can afford to travel internationally. I recognize that it is not something that, like, it's not a real problem.
Well, but it impacts you even when you're going back and forth across the U.S. Like, if you have a work thing when we travel for tours and stuff.
Yeah, usually if we go to the West Coast for a tour, a lot of the time I will try to get there a day early. So especially if our show times are later, I want to not be a wreck for them. Maybe one day we will tour again.
Maybe, maybe. But in any case, I am personally thankful for time zones because I'm kind of obsessed with time. I love it. I like how it makes order out of chaos and key is like the one thing, because I tend to be very, I can get very unfocused very quickly, but as long as I have like a time in mind, I can kind of fix my trajectory and be like, no, you're not supposed to still be in the sewing room. Go do some work. Go be a grown up for a minute. And I am not particularly inflexible about it, but time is just like a perfect guideline for my day-to-day life. I know that probably sounds wildly obvious, but like I literally mark out my day of like, I need to be doing X by X, Y by Z. Like then I'm going to shift to this and then I book in this. And I do kind of schedule all my days so that I don't completely like become a floopy nightmare that gets nothing done. I have to because I'm doing too many things at once all the time. If this is your Friday and you are headed into a weekend where you don't have things to do, I hope that your time is spent however you wish and that it is enjoyable and delightful, either as structured or unstructured as works best for you. We will be right back here tomorrow with a classic, and then on Monday there will be brand new episodes coming in hot.
So Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at tomboyx.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all seven rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th, with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Rocket Mortgage, official partner of the NFL Draft.